Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning.
Amen.
Good to see everybody here. And I want to say this church has been a blessing to me. I've enjoyed very much being here and being able to serve and worship with you. Every person here has been a blessing to me. And I do kind of stand over to the sides when we first get started and we're playing a couple of songs. And I'm looking around, and I'm looking for people to see where they're at. So when you're not here, you're missed. You say, well, nobody called me. Well, here's kind of where that works. I've had folks I'd call when they wasn't here, and they said, don't call me. Don't call me. I'm all right, you know.
Amen.
And I've had some, they missed two times, and you don't see them. They said, well, you didn't call me. I just want you to take my word for it. When you're not here, you're missed.
Amen.
Okay? This is God's house. It's about the Lord. It's not about us. It's not about what we do. It's about Him. You know, I want to worship and I want to serve while I'm here. You know, you only have so much time here. And the older you get, seems like the faster those days go by. And we have work to do. There's a song I've been listening to, and it kind of goes right along with what Paul wrote, having a desire to go and be with the Lord, but it was not time, more expedient that he stay. But the song talks about being caught between here and there, caught between here and heaven. And you know, the older you get in life, it's like we preached last Sunday, sometimes you end up with, as I've heard preachers say, I've got more on the other side than I have on this side. You end up with loved ones there, sometimes a spouse there, and if you get old enough, sometimes even children. When children are not supposed to precede their parents in death, but sometimes it happens. But God's got a place prepared for us, and I'm going to go when the time comes, but until then, there's a part of the song that says, I need to be telling people about Christ. The message we've got this morning is out of the book of Luke, chapter number 15, and I want to preach on the lost sheep. Something I've been studying on. That's why we played that song, Here I Am. Said he left the 99 to go find that one lost sheep. And I want to read this to you. This is a parable, and we're going to talk a little bit about what a parable is. But then we're going to look at how it applies to us. What our responsibility is, what we're supposed to be doing in these times that we're living in, what we're supposed to be doing as Christians. But in the book of Luke, chapter number 15, beginning in verse 1, says, Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And when Jesus, He knows their hearts and He knows what's in their heart and in their mind, and He simply begins to speak to them in a parable. It's the parable of the lost sheep. It says, And He spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the dark, in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it. And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Let's bow our heads for prayer. God, we thank you for letting us be in your house this morning. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for saving us. We thank you for your love. Thank you, Lord, for providing this place for us to be able to come and worship. Thank you for every person that's here, every friend, every family member, every loved one, every person, God, that you've allowed us to have the privilege of working and worshiping with down here. God, we pray that you'd take this message and, Lord, you'd help us, Lord, to have liberty, God, and touch our hearts, our minds, our lips. But as we preach, Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit, most of all, would speak to somebody's heart, Lord, that maybe that doesn't know You as their Savior. Maybe they're not sure. Maybe they just don't know that if they were to die today, they'd go and be with You. Maybe they're unsettled that if they were to, as the Scripture says, hear the trumpet sound. Or if they were to see the movement of Christians being pulled up to heaven, that they'd be, rather than rejoicing that their Lord and Savior had come, they'd be afraid. They'd fall to their knees, Lord, in terror, knowing that they did not do what they needed to do to make ready for that hour. God, I pray that You'd send exactly what's needful. Help us to fulfill Your will. And Lord, we pray most of all that everything You allow us to do, everything You give us, every blessing, every time, Lord, things go in a great way, when people look at it, that we'd point to You. And we'd give You all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise, for it's Yours and not ours. And this we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk about the lost sheep this morning, and I want you to look at this. If you look at this scripture in the fourth verse, it says, if a man has 100 sheep and he loses one of them, he leaves the 99 and he goes into the wilderness and he goes after it till he finds it. And as I began to look at that and I thought about it, and it's kind of like sometimes in our lives, we get so busy, we're trying to keep everything corralled. Well, it's just one. It's just one sheep. But here's what I want you to understand. Number one is the significance of the lost sheep. He is one. He is one. It's kind of like this. If one of your children go astray and they're in trouble, or you don't know where they're at, or you hadn't heard from them, or you called their number and they don't pick up the phone, or you go to their house and they don't answer the door, it's not going to matter to you that on Sunday morning the other two kids were in the house of God with you. Now, you're going to be thankful that those two are there, but what's going to happen is your mind and your heart's going to be preoccupied with, where in the world is my lost son? And here's why: because one matters. Because the shepherd in this story, he loves all of his sheep. He doesn't just love 99 of them and say, well, I've got 99, I'm willing to let that one go by the wayside. He loves them all. See, this one sheep, the significance, not only does he love this one sheep, but this one sheep is lost. And when a sheep is lost, he is out of place. And any time a sheep is away from the flock, it's very dangerous. It's very dangerous because he's out there and he's subjected to predators. He's subjected to the enemy, and there are all kind of things that could happen to that lost sheep. So the shepherd, he cares about the one. He recognizes that he is lost. And to the shepherd, the sheep has great value. You know, when you take sheep to market and they put them up there and they're going to look at them for sale, the rod that's mentioned in the 23rd Psalm is something that they would use to rake across the wool, because sometimes what would happen is they'd cut a sheep in a certain way that when you look at it, it was beautiful. It was like taking a dog to a dog show that had long hair. You can cut it and make it look like it had muscles when it doesn't. But there's something very significant about this, and that it really doesn't matter to the shepherd that this sheep is the best or the least. You remember what Jesus was doing, and the publicans and the sinners came to Him? They said, He's eating with sinners. They murmured, the religious crowd of the day said, look at Him, He receiveth sinners and He eats with them. And then Jesus, with this parable, begins to remind them why He came. You see, this sheep is very significant. It has great value. It is loved by the shepherd. And even though he has the 99, it'd be like you and me having two or three kids. You ever heard the saying, and I've used it many times, that a mother is never happier than her least happy child? I can tell you the way most of us parents would want to be. You know, I'd want to have my little pod, and I'd want my house in the middle, and all of my kids around.
Oh, yeah.
And at 11 o'clock at night, I'd be, you know, they're 30, 40 years old. What do? You go to the window and you open the blind. Well, they're not home yet. Then you start calling them, where are you at? One thing to understand about God is He can handle more than two or three. That's why when you come to Him, you ever thought about how that when we come and we have an altar of prayer and people are pouring out their hearts to God? He's God. He's not limited like you and I. He hears every prayer. He knows every burden. He knows every heart. He can handle it. He can contain it. And He hears and He cares. And He's just using the number 90 and 9 for significance. It could have been a million. It could have been 100,000. It could have been a billion. But He's saying this one matters. One matters. I want you to see the searching for the lost sheep. See, the shepherd, he's not satisfied if any of his sheep are lost. He's not willing to say, well, I've gotten most of them. But he's willing to leave the comforts of home, to go out into the cold at night, even to put himself in danger. Because he goes out there and he's amongst the woods and the beasts and the wolves and the mountain lions and the things that would be searching for the sheep. But the shepherd knows that if he doesn't find the sheep, the predators will. So he goes out and he searches. In this parable it says, until it's found. Because he understands and he knows the dangers that the sheep will face. Well, the next thing that happens is he talks about how that there's great rejoicing if the sheep is found. That's the celebration over finding the lost sheep. You see, when the shepherd finds the lost sheep, it's very similar to the story of the prodigal son. You know, the prodigal son, the father, I believe, is every day. I just can't help but believe that he did this. He went out on the porch every morning and every evening. And he was looking for that boy. Yeah. Now, he had one boy at home that was doing right. But when he saw that boy coming, he said, kill the fatted calf. Yeah. He said, he put a ring on his finger. He said, bring the father's robe and put it on him. Even though the shepherd had the 90 and 9, when he finds that one lost sheep, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, and there's a great celebration. And he wants everybody to see. He says, well, look, I've found my lost sheep. You know, it's kind of like you and me. I want to tell you something. Our hearts ought to be in such a situation that we're praying. If we got somebody that's lost, you need to be praying for them. You know why? Because Jesus is coming back. And the truth is, based on what the Word of God says, if they're not saved, they're not going to heaven. So you have a limited amount of time to get them saved. And when you get them saved, we ought to rejoice. Amen. The shepherd, he rejoices and he wants everybody to know. Look, I found my lost sheep. Now remember that this story is a parable. What is a parable? If you look at what a parable is, it's called or often called, well, it's an illustration. I've heard people say, well, a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. But I want you to take it a little bit more serious than that. I want you to look deeper than that, because a parable is a lesson from God. It's when God speaks to us and He's deliberately trying with His words or with the story, trying to teach us something. And He's taking this story of the 90 and 9 and one being missing, and He's trying to give us an understanding and to teach us something and trying to get us to see, trying to get us to focus, trying to get us to understand. And here's what I want you to realize. This parable is really not even about sheep. He's saying he had 99 sheep and 100 sheep and one went astray and he had 90 and 9, but it's not really about sheep. If you go to Psalms chapter 100 in verse number 3, it says, know ye that the Lord is God, it is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. If you go over to the 23rd Psalm in the first verse, David said, the Lord is my shepherd. And he goes on down. Now, obviously, David was a shepherd himself, but he gives throughout that entire psalm, he gives a picture of the relationship with God the Father, being God being his shepherd. So when we look at this story of the lost sheep, it's not about sheep. It's about lost people. And it's true, and I think that it's so important that we continue to sound the alarm, we continue to ring the bell, we continue to tell the story that Jesus is coming and that the lost needs to be saved. I have a friend that I worked with probably 20 years ago, and he sends me things periodically over the email, and we talk. But, you know, every time I talk to him, and he knows I'm pastor in the church, he said, this is what he tells me. Now, he's not a preacher, but he said, every Sunday, get up and tell them that Jesus is coming. He said, every Sunday, get up and tell them that they have a limited time to make things right with God. Every Sunday, get up and tell them that there's a purpose. And as I listened to him and I listened to his zeal, I wish more people could get a hold of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, I want you to see the significance of the lost sheep again. See, the lost sheep, he represents the lost person. The lost person. And if you look at it, again, he is one. But one matters. You ever talk to somebody that was without God and they say, well, I just don't see how God would love me. I don't see how God would care for me. If you knew what I did, if you knew where I've been, if you knew what I've been involved in, how could God love me? I want you to understand something this morning. That kind of talk comes directly from the enemy. And he doesn't want you to believe that God loves you enough that if you were the only one, I believe this with all my heart, that Jesus Christ still would have come. He still would have lived on this life, on this earth. He still would have lived sinless. He still would have come born of a virgin. He still would have been crucified for your sins if you were the only one. Because God cares about you. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9, the scripture says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, I'll tell you just a couple of things about that scripture. You know, the times that we're living in today, sometimes people get mad at God. People get offended at God. They say, well, if God's God, why did he let this happen? If God's God, why don't he do something about that? We can look around us at the world today and the things that are going on, and we can see all kind of things. I want to tell you, it's right here in this scripture why God hasn't come back. The reason that God hasn't come back is there are lost sheep that are out there in the wilderness, and the Father cares about them, and he wants to do everything that he can that every lost one that could possibly be brought into the fold be brought into the fold.
Amen.
We can't look at God and judge him and say, God, if you're God, why don't you do something about that? Because if you did, what about you? What if you got what you deserved rather than God's mercy? You know, when I look at this parable and I look at this verse, I don't see how anybody in the world couldn't believe that in John 3:16, he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know what that whosoever means? That means everybody. There's some rotten apostasy going around. The more I study the Word of God, and I can't help, I'm going to have to just speak about it in a minute and I'll move on. But they'll tell you that this one was predestined from the dawn of time to be saved. And this one was predestined from the dawn of time to go to hell. It's called Calvinism and the Tulip Theory. It's straight out of the pits of hell. And you can tell them that I said it because I believe it with all of my heart. Because when he said there's 90 and 9, I'm willing to go to the wilderness for one. He said he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All. Because one matters. You see, sometimes, and I've seen this, but I want you to understand something. Don't judge somebody because they're in trouble. Don't judge somebody because they're down. Don't even judge them when you try to help them and the first time it don't stick. Don't judge them when you try to help them and the second time it don't stick. Because there are people in this world today that have been a lost sheep for so long, they've been rejected for so long, that they do not believe that anybody would love them enough to come to the wilderness and try to pull them out. So when you go and you try to rescue them, here's what they'll say. I'm not fit to rescue. I'm no good to be saved. Don't tell me I can come to the altar and God will love me. My daddy hated me all my life and treated me like I was a dog. And they compared God to him. I want you to understand something. God is greater than anything you'll ever experience. And he loves you no matter what you've done or where you're at. And one matters to God. Amen. He is one. And he is lost. You know, in the day and times we're living in today, could you imagine me getting on CNN talking about lost people? You know what they think of us? They'd like to get rid of us. But I'll tell you what lost is. Lost is out of place. Lost is in a dangerous place. Lost is separated from God. Lost is on the verge of eternity. Lost means he has needs greater than his capacity to even realize or understand. Because many that are lost, they don't know they're lost. They don't realize that they're lost because they reject God as creator and they reject the Word of God. But I want to tell you something. They're still lost.
Amen.
Well, what is saved? You talk to people about being saved and they say, what are you talking about? Well, this lost sheep that he went after, when he found it and he brought it back to the fold, the intent was to save it. Saved is brought back into a right standing. Well, saved from what? Saved from eternal separation from God. You see, because the truth is, your life and your days on this earth are numbered. You know, it was mentioned just a minute ago, and I appreciate that song, Brother Keith. And, you know, I've had it on my heart a lot. I looked, and I've got stacks of those little funeral pamphlets on my dresser where I keep my stuff over here. You go downstairs, and where I study, I noticed I was down there this morning, and I've got a whole stack of them leaning against the computer monitor. And I want you to understand something. Do you know why I save them? They're precious to me. Every time I go to a funeral and, you know, I'm there and I hear the words of somebody's life and their testimony, you know what? They're going the same place that we're all going. Now, one thing that I want to tell you, whether you'll believe it or not, you say, well, I just don't believe all that stuff. I want to tell you something. You're going to die. And based on what God's Word teaches me, you say, well, I evolved. Well, you'll find out because the Scripture says that every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And we're going to be in a position then that you better make sure everything's all right. Because if you're not saved, it's eternal separation from God. It's eternal damnation in hell. So I don't like that. Well, let me tell you something as a preacher. I don't like it. I don't like that. There's some things that I find in the Word of God, I'm just going to be honest to you, I don't understand. There's some things that I find in the Word of God that I don't like. But He's God and I'm not.
Right.
And until you get to the point that you accept that, you're probably going to stay lost. But I found this verse in Matthew 25 and verse number 41. I want to read this to you and I want you to understand something. Hell was not created for you.
Right.
It says, then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels.
Right. Amen.
You know, people say, well, I don't believe in the devil. Well, you can believe in him. Because there are gangs right now roaming up and down the streets that you need to keep your kids away from because they have no respect whatsoever for life. They'll take your life for your tennis shoes. They'll take your life for your cell phone. They can kill and go to bed at night and lose no sleep. And people see all the sin and wickedness in this world, and they want to tell me there's no devil. The Bible even talks about in the last days spiritual wickedness in high places. Do you think that we're in the shape we're in because the devil is not running rampant and he knows that we're in the last days and he's doing everything that he can to bring hearts and minds together? See, God's got something prepared for us, as it was said. This is just a place to get us ready for something even greater. Now, I want to stop for just a minute before we move on. I want you to understand, it don't mean you can't enjoy it here. You see, I said it a couple of weeks ago, it's been on my heart. Godliness with contentment is great gain. When you hurt, learn how to live your life for God, understanding that the peace of God is the most important thing you'll ever have. It's more important than winning the lottery. It's more important to get that promotion you want at work. It's more important than getting that car or that boat or that motorcycle or that whatever it is that you want, is having the peace of God and being able, here's what people need to be able to do. They need to be able to sit down and eat what they've got and say the blessing over it and look at their kids smiling, sitting behind them and beside them and enjoy what they have. I learned that growing up from watching people who had the peace of God in their hearts. But it's beginning to be missing in this country. It's missing in our world because people, the most important thing they need more than anything else is a right relationship with God.
Yeah.
See, they're out in the world and they're lost and they're pursuing all other things, not realizing even where they're at. You see, he's out there, he's won, he's lost, and he has great value. Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 31, just part of a verse, Jesus is speaking, and he's talking about how that the sparrows, the lilies, they sow not, they reap not, but you see them and they're arrayed in great beauty. And the sparrows, they're fed, God feeds them. But it says to the people, you are of more value than many sparrows. You see, when I look around me and I go outside and I see God's creation, I mean, I just see God's hand. I see the fingerprints of God. I see them in the sunrise. I see them in the sunset. I see them, as a brother mentioned to me the other day, he said, when the sun rises and you can see the ice crystals burning off the pine needles and you can see the squirrel go up the tree for the first time in the morning. Now, I know y'all don't want to get out in the cold like that, but look out the window. And just look at what God has done and what God has created and realize how wonderful that He is. And He's prepared that for us here. And if He's prepared that for us here, just imagine what He has for us on the other side. But you know the problem with people? They're not looking for the other side because they, you know, there are people that have never seen the sunrise. I talked to a man one time trying to help him. He had a terrible time with crystal meth, in terrible shape. And I asked him, when's the last time you sat down with your kids and you just heated up a pizza out of the freezer and you put it in front of them and watched them eat it and was able to smile? You see, people are missing the things that God has given them because they're looking everywhere for everything else and they're lost and they don't even know it. That lost sheep is loved by God. And he has missed, and here's something I want you to understand. Those of you that are in here that, you know, you come to church, I love coming to church, okay? Church is, Sunday morning is the Super Bowl for me every week, okay? And I love it, you know, we get to talking about it. We had a little conversation a little bit ago. We got so much going on here at the church. I said, I need a calendar printed so I won't double book stuff. And it doesn't matter how good it gets in here. It doesn't matter how good the singers are, and folks, they're going to be good on the 25th. Y'all need to come, I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't matter how good it is in here, and God's going to be with us, He's going to be in the midst. But I'll tell you something, the Holy Spirit is going to be out there.
Yeah.
And it's going to be going to and fro on the earth, and He's going to be searching, and He's going to be looking, because there's lost sheep out there everywhere. And I want you to know something, no matter how good it is in here, there's lost sheep out there that God still cares about. Because He's searching for the lost sheep. See, God is searching for the lost person. He's not satisfied if any of mankind is lost. I want to read that verse again, 2 Peter chapter 3, 9. Said, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but He is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's why God's long-suffering. Because you know what happens? In that war room is maybe your grandma, maybe your mother. They go in there and they say, Lord, I'm looking for You to come. But Lord, don't come today. Lord, You know my grandson, he's not saved. Lord, You know my granddaughter, she's out in the world, and Lord, You know what shape she's in. Lord, I'm looking for You to come, but not today. You know, sometimes we get to longing for home as Christians because we believe it, we feel it, we see it. But there's too many that are praying. They're praying, Lord, come quickly, but they're saying, not today. Because this one's lost.
Yeah.
See, all of us know somebody that's like a lost sheep. And God loves them, and God's looking for them. And God misses them. Even though He's with us, He's looking for them. And He's searching for them. And I'll tell you how much searching He did. Jesus left heaven for you. You ever thought about that? There's a song that the Primitive Quartet sings. Now, I'm a little peculiar. Folks, I can listen to the Newsboys when the tower goes up, and I can have a Primitive Quartet right behind them. Okay? I know some of y'all can't do that, but I like all of it. But the Primitive Quartet is a bluegrass group, and they sang this song, Jesus Left Heaven for Me. And for years I've been watching them and sing that song. I've seen them in person, and I've seen them sing it, and they had a tenor singer that sang with them for years. And just this past year, he went to heaven to be with Jesus. But they sang this song, Jesus left heaven for me, left the comforts of glory for me. At Calvary He suffered misery untold. He cared that much for my soul. You see, the shepherd, he left the comforts of home. It's a picture of Christ. He left heaven because He loves you. And what Jesus is doing right now, if you're not saved, He's looking for you. And He's calling for you. It's like He's going into the woods and He's calling your name. He's going into the streets of the city and He's calling your name. He's going into the dark corners and the places where there's nothing but trouble and He's calling your name. And sometimes the powers of darkness and evil are so loud that it's pushed that voice way down to where you can't hardly hear it. But I want you to know that God is calling your name. And He's trying to tell you that you were made for more than the way you're living. He's trying to tell you that your life is supposed to be for His honor and glory. He's trying to tell you that you don't have to listen to the devil. You don't have to subside to the things that he offers you. That everything that the devil has is a counterfeit. And He's calling for His lost sheep to come home. He's searching for you. You know, when a lost sheep is found, here's the celebration. It's celebrating over a lost person being saved. See, I do believe there's a celebration in heaven every time somebody gets saved. I'm not going to give you anything about every time a bell rings or anything like that. But I do believe they rejoice in heaven. You see, because the Bible teaches us that God the Father, you know, He's sitting on the throne and Jesus is on the right hand of the Father. Scripture says He's making intercession for us. Every time somebody gets saved, there's rejoicing. Now, there's rejoicing in heaven, but there's rejoicing here.
That's right.
There's a verse in the book of Psalms that talks about, "Thou tellest my wanderings, thou puttest all my tears into that bottle." There's mothers and there have daddies that have prayed for years for a lost son or daughter. They prayed for years for a lost brother. And you know, sometimes what happens, and I've seen this, God calls that love, that father or that mother home to be with him even before that lost one is saved. But those prayers, those tears, God still got them.
Amen.
And I believe there's a time when God takes it, and it's like taking that bottle of tears and he pours them out over the head of that lost loved one. I read a book by Jim Cimbala, who is a pastor of the Brooklyn Tabernacle, and he was trying to serve God, trying to do what God wanted him to do. He had a daughter go astray. He said there were times he would be in the pulpit trying to preach. He said he would be so overwhelmed with a burden for that daughter that he could not even concentrate on delivering the message. And they came in one Wednesday night to have a prayer meeting, and while they were there, the people could see the burden on him, and they gathered around together, and they started to pray, and they cried, and they shook the portals of glory, until that girl, right where she was at, fell out of her bed, afraid, knowing that she was a lost sheep.
Wow.
He said the next morning, she fell through the door of their house, onto the floor, weeping and crying. He said, "What were y'all doing last night?" War room prayer works, folks. And they cried out to God and they prayed and that girl got saved. That girl today is working in that church as a leader in that church because that was one lost sheep that it didn't matter how many thousands were in there. That man was not satisfied. I want you to understand something. If you're here and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, it doesn't matter how many of us do. God is looking for you. There's something very significant that I want you to understand. In the parable, when the shepherd would go out and he would find the lost sheep, he would take the staff and he would hook it around the sheep's neck and he would pull it to him. And sometimes if it was a sheep that would go astray, he'd break the sheep's leg. And he would have to carry that sheep with him, beside him, until its leg was mended. And during the time, the process, what would happen as the leg mended, the sheep had bonded to the shepherd. And when it set it down, this is why sometimes God has to work in mysterious ways in our life. Do you know that everywhere that shepherd went, that sheep was right there?
Amen.
But here's something I want you to understand as a lost person. God's not going to make you get saved. He's going to come looking for you. He's going to send a message like this. He's going to send His Holy Spirit to stir in your heart and your mind. And you're going to be shaken. It's not going to be because some country preacher got up and said something, but it's going to be because the Holy Spirit of God spoke to your heart and let you know that you're lost. But here's something very significant. We're going to give a song. Nobody's going to force you to be saved. God's not going to put a hook around your neck and pull you down. Now, folks, I've been in those kind of churches. This is not one of those. We will rejoice when one gets saved. And we do. But you're not going to be saved unless you want to be. See, because one thing that God did, He had the angels and the cherubim to worship Him. He's Creator God. Beyond our ability to comprehend. Sometimes people start talking about everything out in space and they start talking about the galaxy after galaxy and trying to understand space. I want to tell you how simple it is. A verse in the book of Psalms says, "He made the stars also." He's God. You're not going to understand it. You're not going to understand Him all, but right now, the reason you're uncomfortable, the reason there's something going on inside of you is because the Holy Spirit has come and God loves you so much that He said, you know what He's saying? I'm looking for you. I'm looking for you. Will you come to Him? Ask you to stand to your feet, whatever song we've got. But I want you to understand something. Right here on each side, there's an altar. And what we've done is we still believe that prayer is important. You know, I still believe that a broken spirit and a contrite heart, those are the things that God's looking for. And if God spoke to your heart, you say, well, I don't understand it. I don't either. But I feel it. You say, I'm not good enough. You don't have to be. It's not about that. We're not here and saved because we're good. We're here and saved because God is good and He loved us enough that when we were in the wilderness, He come looking for us.
Yes. Amen.
If you want to talk to God, somebody would love to pray with you, as they say, go ahead.